Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Katie Perry. Katie is the VP of Marketing at Public, a social investing app that makes it possible to own the companies you believe in with any amount of money, commission-free.
Thanks for having me on, Ari.
So, you know, you reached out to me, told me about your app, was really interested in the stuff you're doing. You know, I've been really fascinated by sort of these subreddits where, you know, Wall Street Bets, for example, everyone is now like day trading because they can't watch sports anymore. You know, the most common comparison that I'm sure is drawn between you guys is you all and Robinhood. Can you talk about the differences between Public and Robinhood, and as VP of marketing, you're making sure that you differentiate yourselves in the marketplace?
Sure. Yeah. I think with Public, we're a social investing app. So one part, you know, stock brokerage, one part social app for talking about businesses and business trends. And so how we differentiate from other brokerage apps is that social aspect where in the very same place you're watching your portfolio and engaging with the companies that you believe in and own, you're also having conversations with other investors about broader business trends and strategy with the end goal of that community helping build your financial literacy. And so in addition to the social piece, there's also functions of our app that really cater to a longer term investing community. So we recently polled our members and 74% of them self-described as long-term or predominantly long-term investors. And so it's a little bit of a different profile of investor of people who are looking to explore and discuss companies that they believe in for the long-term. And I would say the last piece of that is just culturally, we are all about changing the culture of investing. I think for hundreds of years, investing has been fairly homogenous. It's felt like a closed off space, smoke filled rooms. And for certain communities, it has felt like something that is not for them. I remember personally even growing up and, you know, every advertisement on TV from a legacy financial institution had the same kind of looking actor in it, for example. And there's something psychological there when you don't actually see yourself reflected in some of these products and experiences, you feel like it's not for you. So for us, democratization is really, you know, let's break down the economic barriers. And I think a lot has obviously happened there with zero commissions and fractional. But what's that next step of breaking down the psychological barriers and making it a space where people can learn together?
Yeah, I really like that community aspect. You know, we've been seeing this more and more. There's a platform called Circle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, that I think I've spoken to a few guests in the past about, where, you know, they're sort of unbundling Slack, quote unquote, where, you know, Slack is being used for community, but and people are having their community discussions in it. What you all are doing are taking it to the next level, where instead of, you know, people using Reddit to discuss this stuff, you want it discussed on your platform. How are you, from a marketing point of view and a branding point of view, convincing people, hey, you all should be posting here and joining the community in the app, opposed to using traditional platforms like a Reddit or Twitter, where a lot of these conversations are occurring?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it just kind of makes sense to have the place where you're talking about the companies you believe in, have that community right next to it. And so in the app, you know, I could swipe one way and get a snapshot of the market for the day from an eagle eye view. I can do one more swipe and look at my portfolio, and I can swipe again and see what the people I'm connected to are saying and what they're investing in and why. The why is really important, because when you kind of take that step to explain why you invested in something, it kind of makes you stop and think through your logic. It's a little more thoughtful, and there's a lot of learning that can take place when you're seeing how other people are making these decisions. So it's really not about copying or influencing other people. What you're really seeing is people breaking down their own thoughts and then following from that, you know, discussion, debate. And through that transparency, everyone can learn a little bit more. And I think what's really resonating with a lot of communities that we've been tapping into is that people are hungry for this stuff, even if they're not the type of person to be on a Reddit thread. And so we recently did an event with a huge community of freelancers And they're creatives and artists and small business owners, people you would never find in some of these existing communities, and they took right to it. And I think what people like about Public is that we're really elevating people coming from diverse perspectives. It's not all people who have a banking background or a financial background. There's people who are business owners, there's creatives, there's healthcare workers, there's teachers, and everyone kind of brings their own sliver of knowledge. Somebody who works in healthcare might know a lot about companies in that space that I as a marketer don't, whereas my contributions could be more in the ilk of kind of what my professional background is. And so it kind of gives people that confidence to say like, yeah, I can do this. And my opinions on things are actually valuable and others can learn from them.
So on that note, you know, do you find like the healthcare example that these people posting, are they active on Twitter or are they active on Reddit? Or this is like, oh, I'm going to try something new because they've sort of been a lurker and they were intimidated in what they like about your platform is sort of this democratization and this openness? Or do you find that you're able to get people to switch from Reddit or Twitter to using you all?
Yeah, I don't know if it's about switching, maybe in some cases, but I think it's kind of just, it's another place to talk and it's a little more focused. So I think we see a lot of people who like Twitter and like having, you know, engaging in tech or business Twitter, love Public. It's a very similar sort of content format. It's short form, copy. If you enjoy that kind of dynamic on Twitter, you'll probably love Public. So there's definitely a lot of people who are in that kind of business Twitter community who are also on Public. But that's not to say, you know, someone's just going to leave another major social platform and do it entirely there. These are just like a little more focused conversations in the context of where you're actually investing.
Yeah. So, you know, we connected because you reached out to me about using the platform. You know, one of the things that it looks like you're doing a really good job at is sort of this influencer marketing outreach, but specifically this sort of niche influencer marketing outreach. So people that, you know, I interact on Twitter, which I would never consider influencers, but they're influencers to you all. Can you talk about how you guys are developing your influencer strategy? You know, how you're bringing these people who are popular in the creator economy, quote unquote, or this business strategy economy, onto your platform and how you're doing that?
Yeah, we think about influencer in a totally different way. And we don't even actually use that word much at the company. It's about creators. And there's something really powerful going on, which you're very well aware of because you're a part of it, in that I feel like over the past several months, you're seeing this kind of wave of people who are kind of finding their voice and have really unique perspectives that are totally different than ones we've seen before. So people with very specific substacks about Gen Z and business or the attention economy. And these people who are passionate about these topics, they're definitely relevant to business, but they're a little different than the things you would see on CNBC. And that's exactly what we're going for in our feed. We want it to be a very diverse mix of perspectives. And so people can get broader knowledge, not just about the financial markets, not just about what one stock's doing at one point of the day, but understanding business trends, how to think about companies, leadership, all of those things. And so really key to that is working with people who have like a unique perspective and, you know, partnering with them to bring them into our community and share their perspectives there as well. Especially people in the business environment, you know, if this is a place where you're talking about businesses and you have content that's about businesses and business trends, it's kind of a perfect fit.
Yeah, so I think that's a good segue into you just landed, right, probably your biggest influencer, Scott Galloway. Can you talk about how that partnership developed? And I'm not sure if everyone who's listening knows who he is, so maybe also just share a 30-second overview of who he is. But yeah, even more so, talk about how you got him to join the platform.
Yeah. So Scott, if you don't know him, is a NYU professor at Stern. He teaches marketing. He has for years. He's also scaled and sold several businesses. He's on the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher, which is extremely popular. And he's one of these kind of dynamic business thought leaders that is a little outside of the norm. He always talks about the fact that he's been banned from CNBC because he has these sort of very provocative takes on on businesses and leadership. And he's very outspoken. And so the partnership with Scott came about, you know, we were just wanting to talk with him about being in our community overall. And he actually, you know, within the conversation said to our CEO, how about I invest? Because he's been very vocal about the democratization of investing, how to do that in a safe and responsible way. He very much believes that more people investing is a good thing overall. He does have strong opinions about the how. And in getting to know him and our leadership, I think he really just started to believe in kind of what our model is. So in public, you can't day trade. We don't have any super advanced trading tools for beginners. We actually put safety labels on certain stocks. So if the SEC deems, you know, a microcap stock risky or a company that's recently gone bankrupt, and, you know, you're a newbie, maybe you go to a thread somewhere and everyone's like, go get this company, and they just went under. That'll actually be a little flag on the page, and you'll have to like swipe a little bar to acknowledge that you read it and understand that the SEC thinks that could be risky. And so all of these things are really about how do we build an environment where someone's first experience investing is a good one. They're not totally getting burned. And so I think Scott really was just aligned with what we were doing. And then in addition to investing, yes, he's going to be in our app. I think with Scott, he has another business called Section 4, and they're doing a lot of content around frameworks for business strategy. Maybe you don't have an MBA, but like there's certain things that you can kind of glean from those. And so he's going to be bringing in some of these insights around how to think about businesses, how to analyze businesses. He's not going to be telling people what to do. He obviously has opinions famously on his winners and losers. This is more about giving people an inside look at how he's assessing what those winners and losers are. So he talks a lot about Rundles, the recurring revenue model. So he'll be talking about that in the app. So we're really excited to have him. We think he's emblematic of everything we're building. And he's going to be partnering with us a lot in the coming months on different financial literacy and business literacy initiatives.
So, you know, that brings me to an interesting point that you sort of brought up, and I don't want to dive too into investing because I know that's not the reason people are listening to this podcast, but we've seen this trend where more and more people are investing in ETFs. You know, they're using Wealthfront or Betterment. And, you know, one of the challenges I'm sure you probably have from a marketing perspective is convincing the regular layperson who might know nothing about investing, right? Their day job is they're a doctor. How are you positioning the brand so that you can attract those types of people to your audience? Because I think right now, a lot of the common advice being given to folks who don't have this background is use Betterment, use Wealthfront, you know, invest in the S&P 500. What is, you know, the narratives that you're telling and that differentiation to convince people otherwise?
Yeah, sure. So one thing with us, we actually do offer ETFs in our app fractionally. So there's ways to kind of invest in the index level. But one thing that's kind of interesting that we hear from people is that, you know, most people are taught invest in your 401k, or they know they should be investing maybe in a managed fund. That's great. When you're doing that, you don't have that firsthand experience though. And so even from my own standpoint, you know, I was always like taught 401k as soon as you can. And I always did that. I had no idea what was in there. I never even thought I could ask or look. I didn't understand how the dynamics of these things worked. And so one thing that's super powerful with fractional is that it's not really about replacing, you know, screw your 401k, this start picking stocks. That's not really the narrative. This is about fractional giving people the ability to have firsthand active learning experience investing. Without putting in a ton of money. So that obviously wasn't always the case. You used to have a huge account minimum. There were fees, and that made it so everyday people couldn't really get their hands dirty and learn about this stuff. With fractional, you can kind of, if you're starting out, you can build a portfolio with $20, $100, get a few things in there, understand the terminology, how things work. In our app, we have different ways to kind of tap into certain keywords or terms, learn along the way. And I think what we hear a lot is when people are actually actively doing it. And when we say active, we mean engaged in their portfolio, not like trading like crazy. You can't do that in our app. But that firsthand experience, I think, is really helpful. And from a personal standpoint, that's when I started, things started really click for me, when I was actually like in there. And so those platforms you mentioned are great tools. Any financial advisor will say, like, it's, you know, you're not gonna, you know, beat the market necessarily on your own. And there's different sort of passive investing tools that people find helpful. In public, you're getting that active experience though. And as I said, we do offer ETFs if you do kind of feel more comfortable in a bundle of stocks versus just selecting one.
So in terms of shaping the community, do you guys find, it might be too early, that there are sort of these, you know, I don't want to say trends, but this voice that's developing in the community, right? In Fin Twitter, we see the stonk meme all the time, and stocks are always going up. We see that on Reddit. You know, A, can people even post memes in your app? But B, like, are there sort of, you know, those voices being developed where you have this like joking investing part, but you also have this serious part? You know, how have you seen that community shape up and develop?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that kind of meme sort of Reddit styled tone is definitely not what you find in public. Public's more, it's conversational, it's friendly, it's educational. It's not super, super serious all the time. There's some people in the app who are hilarious. And it's great to kind of have that entertaining slant. But it's really about kind of thoughtful conversations. And so we actually, I was just in a chat group today in the app. We have an ability, you can build chat groups. So I'm in one that's called The Future of Fitness. We talk about Peloton. We have one about Gen Z trends. But one person in one of the group was like, I love public because I feel like in those other places, I feel like I don't, it's over my head. I'm not in on these like memes. It's definitely a very niche group of people in that community. And that's not really what public is. Public's where, you know, your friend who's a director of data at an ad agency, your other friend who maybe works at Instagram, your other friend who's a doctor, can come together and just have like regular conversations about this stuff in terms that people understand. And in fact, one of our principles at the company is that anything we kind of write in the app is that we write it in a voice that how someone would actually say it. So speak clearly. We're not watering things down. We're not dumbing things down. We're just making them more mainstream. And I think that's the headline for us, is how do we bring this stuff to the mainstream in a way where more people feel like they can have access?
Great. I love that. And, you know, as we begin to wrap things up, you know, the question that I always end with that I ask our guests is, you know, you joined Public about 10 months ago. What is that maybe one thing you would have done differently knowing what you know now, or that one lesson that you have from since joining the company?
Yeah. So I've worked at a lot of different companies before Public. I've worked at startups. I've been a consultant. My last full-time job before Public was at a publicly traded company, and I was in a corporate strategy position. And it was the most corporate place I ever worked. Everything had to have a million steps, a clearly defined strategy, sign off from 10 people. And so when I started at Public, it was kind of hard for me to get back into the startup mode. And I think when I first started, I was very much in like, let's get the strategy perfect right now before we do anything. And over time, I've kind of realized that at a startup, a lot of it is iteration. And so if I could go back to day one again, I would have kind of snapped back quicker into that more iterative approach versus this is our marketing plan for the next, you know, 10 months. These are all the steps. That's not how it works at a startup. At a startup, you can have a plan and then one day, boom, it could completely change. And so, yeah, that's one thing I would have maybe done differently from day one.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining, Katie. I'm looking forward to continuing our conversations on Twitter as well as in the Public app. But for those listening, you know, or those watching on YouTube, where can they find you on social? Where can they find Public on, you know, social as well as the website?
Yeah. So for Public, public.com, you can go there, enter your mobile number and get the app texted to you. If you want to check out my portfolio, it's public.com/KDP. You can see all of my investments and my recent commentary. And I'm also on Twitter at Katie E. Perry, not to be confused with the more famous one.
Great. And it's funny, when I said your name in the beginning, I was like, wait, am I saying it's Katy Perry? It's definitely a double take there.
It's a blessing and a curse. She's great. I like her. We like her. It's fine.
But thanks again so much for joining us. And until next time, everyone.
Thanks for having me, Ari.